Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
So welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Willingham with Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. Welcome to everybody. We've got a different kind of show tonight. We decided to open this thing up, call it an open mic with Crimson Line Ministries. We're going to see if we can get some callers, see if we can get some dialogue going. We know for sure, and everybody knows this, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of debates over theology, it goes on, and I go to this church, and I go to that church, and my church is right, and your church is wrong, and all of these things, and we spend more time debating what's right and what's wrong from a world perspective concerning the church than we do coming together and uniting as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a unified body, and just loving each other. We have to feel that we're right. And hopefully we're going to shed some light on that. We're going to break down a few walls tonight. Let's go ahead, and before I go any farther, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together again through Hip Hop National Radio. Father, we thank you for this beautiful weather that we're having down here in Atlanta. I know they're having beautiful weather in Florida, and apparently things are starting to melt in Michigan, so that's a good thing. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, just guide us tonight. I pray that minds and hearts and ears would be open, Father, that the people on this show tonight would not just be hearers of the word, but they would be doers of the word, that they would take the things that you will teach them tonight and immediately apply it to their lives. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of things to start with. If you've listened to this show much, you've heard me give a little bit of my background, and my background is in the medical field. My background is in the fitness world. I ran my own fitness training business for a long, long time. I kind of attribute, it's kind of become a joke, and you'll see this kind of joke on Saturday Night Live, that this gym mentality where these young beginner weightlifters or fitness people will come up to a big guy and they'll say, "Hey man, how much you bench?" That's kind of the running joke is that's what shows what level you're at as far as your knowledge about fitness and weight training and those kinds of things. Now let's flip that to the church world. In the church world, the equivalent to that comment would be, "What are you? What do you mean, what am I? Are you a Baptist? What religion are you? Are you a Baptist religion? Are you a Lutheran religion? Are you Episcopalian religion?" See, there's a disconnect there. And the fact is you have seasoned Christians. You have seasoned Christians who've been sitting in church for decades that will still ask the question, "What religion are you?" They have no concept of the accuracy of how this was supposed to go down, what God intended for this to be. So in other words, if you're not a Baptist, then you must not believe in God, or you don't worship the same God that I do. If you're not a Catholic, you don't worship the same God that I do. But there's a massive disconnect which creates division, and we all know that I've spoken a lot on division. But there's a division in the body of Christ instead of a unity in the body of Christ, because there's a lack of understanding. And what does the Bible say? That my people perish for what? For a lack of knowledge. And we're not talking about the deep things of the Word of God. We're talking about the most fundamental things that new believers are not taught. I spoke a little bit. I preached in a church this morning, and I always like to, if I can, and if it's relevant, I always like to drop a little bit of current event type things when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to the kingdom of God. And these are things that a lot of folks are not paying attention to, but they're things that I find fascinating because I love it when I can look at the Bible and read something and the Bible says, this is going to happen, and then watch it happen. Can you imagine through the centuries? Can you imagine over time when people would look back and say, they told us about a Messiah. They told us about the Son of God, a Messiah that would come. And can you imagine the feeling that when when he was there and when these prophecies started to unfold? And we're starting to see that. We've been seeing it for a long time, but things are really ramping up, and specifically they're starting to ramp up toward a one-world religion. And maybe I'm hoping this will spark a little bit of a dialogue tonight, because I think this is very important. The Bible tells us that there will be a one-world religion. People have been looking for decades and centuries, and, well, there it is, and there it is, and there, no, no. But we're really starting to see it now, and everything sociologically is starting to line up with this. In other words, especially here in the United States of America now, if you look at Europe, Europe is very far, we're catching up, but they're very far ahead of us as far as their liberal mentality. Now, when I say liberal, don't connect that to U.S. politics. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that we're getting to a point where everything becomes okay. Everything becomes okay. However I choose to live my life is okay, and God's okay with it as well. So what we've done, and just like last week, I was talking about Exodus, and I was talking about these generational curses and how these curses are passed down from generation to generation to generation. And in Exodus chapter 20, and these are the Ten Commandments, and this is the commandment that says, you shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath. What God was saying, you do not worship false idols. You do not create for yourself a carved image. How does that apply to us today? See, we think about that and we say we have this picture of this village in a tribal village in a carved totem pole or whatever you are, a rock or whatever they carve, and people are bowing down to this thing. That's not relevant to us today, even though still there are places in the world people still do that. But how does that apply to us? What kind of false idols have we started to worship? How does this apply? Well, some people would say, well, we worship people in Hollywood. No, we do, but it goes farther than that. What we've done is we have taken our lifestyle, no matter what that lifestyle may be, and then we have created a Jesus that fits that lifestyle. We have created God in our image. We've created God in the image of the lifestyle that we want to lead, no matter how sinful that lifestyle is. Because you've heard me say before, God didn't stutter. There's no interpretation when it comes to the things that God said are an abomination to him, that are perverse to him, the things that make him unhappy. The things that cause judgment, they've never changed. They've always been the same. But somewhere along the way, we decided, well, no, we think God's evolving with us. So we create him in our image, and then we go find a church that preaches that Jesus. That's why we bounce from church to church to church, because if we get our feelings hurt, if somebody gets up in our business too much, then we're going to leave and we're going to go find somewhere else to go. I've got to find a church that preaches the Jesus that matches my lifestyle. So what the Bible says is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, we're out there trying to find the church that preaches the Jesus that matches our lifestyle, and we're chasing the stuff from Monday through Saturday. We're chasing all the stuff first, and then we try to cram all that stuff into our belief system instead of doing what the Bible says, and it's seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. So we've gotten it all backwards. So now we have the largest figure, the most powerful figure in the religious world today, standing up, number one, a couple of months ago, and saying all religions are the same. God is one God. We just call him by different names. Some call him God. Some call him Allah. Some call him Krishna. Some call him whatever. God has evolved. God has evolved, excuse me, in the way he thinks. Really? No. You have evolved in the way you think. You have become more unrighteous in your thought process. You've become more tolerant, as the world would say. You've made sin acceptable. Now you have to create God in your image. Then last week, the next step happens. The man who has stood up and said all gods are the same, we all worship the same God, we're all going to heaven, all of these things, everything that's completely contrary to the Word of God, now he stands up and says the Catholic Church and the Charismatics need to come together. We need to join forces. Now, when I first heard that, I said, that's not going to happen. The evangelicals, the Protestants, have to know better than to get in bed with this massive, massive organization that is changing the Word of God as we speak and changing their beliefs, changing their stance on issues that God made perfectly clear that these things were an abomination to him. And I said, nah, that's not going to happen. And lo and behold, one of the most prominent evangelical preachers in America, out of Texas, was doing backflips. Absolutely. We all need to come together because, you know, it's in the name of love, isn't it? You can think that all you want to, and that's fine. But the fact is I have spoken on this for the past 2 years, saying that it was coming, that the large, massive, mega churches, there would be a mass exodus, and they would go with the flow and go with the direction of the world and completely abandon the fundamental truths of the Word of God. They'll just automatically, naturally flow, go with the flow until we end up, which is where we're headed, with a massive one-world religion that says everything is okay. It's all about love. That's all it's about. And it's very easy to promote that because what do we say? God is love. Love like Jesus. Well, I'm getting tired of people using my God and my Jesus to promote their agendas, to promote their business, to promote everything that they're promoting with vile, selfish agendas that are driving what they're doing and just putting Jesus' name on it just to make it more attractive. Because Lord knows if I put Jesus' name on it, oh, then we have to participate. enough is enough. We have to wake up. We must wake up. We have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to the fundamentals. I relate things to sports all the time. And if you take the best baseball players on the planet every year, they go to spring training, and what are they working on first? Fundamentals. The basics. You have to have the basics down first, and that's the one thing that we're missing in the church today. I had somebody tell me before I started this ministry, they said, I'm concerned that you don't have enough content. What does that even mean? Have you read the book? You don't have enough content. But see, that's the mindset. In other words, the mindset says that I need to sit down in front of you every single week, and you better find something in that Bible that you can spin and make exciting and tell a nice, pretty story to entertain me. Because if you stop entertaining me, I'm going to stop listening. But I'll tell everyone here tonight, just like my pastor tells me, I could spend the rest of my life doing nothing but preaching on the fundamentals, preaching on the kingdom. Because until we start to get that, until we start to realize that Jesus Christ was obsessed with the kingdom, that's all he taught. He came and said, repent, for the kingdom has arrived. I've ushered the kingdom back in. Now I'm going to tell you how to operate in that kingdom. I'm going to tell you what your rights are. I'm going to tell you what your identity is. And I'm going to go from place to place to place saying, the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like, over and over and over again. I could spend the rest of my life preaching on just that. Because as of now, I don't see a lot of people that are getting it. Because we're torn. There's mixture. There's mixture. We have this church that says we need to be led by the Spirit. And then we have this garbage dump of a soul with all of our past and all of our emotions and our mindsets and the things that we've been taught and the time that Granddad took us fishing and told us that that group of people are no good. And it creates this mindset. So now we're stuck saying, well, I know I'm saved. I know I've been born again, and I'm supposed to be walking by the Spirit. But am I good or am I bad? Because I'm conflicted. There's a mixture. Am I righteous? Am I unrighteous? Am I holy? Am I unholy? I don't know. I don't know how to do this. So that's been our primary goal from day one, is trying to teach people how to get rid of that garbage in your soul and develop a kingdom mindset. So I'm going to stop there. Tons of things that we can discuss. A lot of things we can discuss. It's wide open. If it's on your mind, ask the question. I want you to keep this in mind. I'm not going to get in long, drawn-out debates. I'm not going to spend an hour going from scripture to scripture to scripture arguing. That's not what this is about. I am a pastor who preaches not only from the Word of God, but I preach from experience. I preach from things that I know, that I know, that I know, that I've witnessed them. I've seen them. And I know from experience, including the nice little people who knock on my door once a week, that they can go through the Bible and quote every scripture in the Bible, and they jack it up beyond belief, but they're not backing down. So I'm not here to get into theological debates. Let's ask questions. Let's be productive. Let's learn something. Let's have fun. And we'll be right back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
And I want to tell you guys, if you are listening in by phone, please press the number 1 so we can know that you wanted to speak. That'll raise your hand. If you're listening into your computer, call in at 213-559-2995 and join us now. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio And we'll be back in a moment. And I'm just having a little technical difficulties. And Pastor Willingham, if you would, join me on Facebook. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The Hip Hop National Radio Feature Artist Spotlight. K.O. Blow Kisses. Cry Wolf.
Forever Memory Blankets is your only stop when thinking of memory items created from photos. Forever Memory Blankets creates blankets, pillows, bed covers, t-shirts, and so much more. Remember, all we need is an ordinary photo. FMB has done great work for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Oprah Winfrey, Music Soul Child, NBA All-Star Dwayne Wade. Forever Memory Blankets is doing it up for all of the stars, from Slim Thug to Bun B, and we cannot forget about our main man, Snoop Dogg. All you have to do is contact us today at www.fmblankets.com or call 469-893-0706. That's 469-893-0706, where we're taking ordinary to extraordinary.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Light Ministries Atlanta. All right, let's get started. I know we have Rusty Russ. Are you there?
Yeah, this is Rusty Russ. How y'all doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. It was beautiful in the beginning. I was wondering, kind of struck something about the book itself. I sleep with three of them next to me because, I don't know, I wake up sometimes and it gives me a little something to get by. But, I mean, I was wondering, does that do the same thing to this day but on a different level as being, like, completely devote to, like, as ministry?
I'm not sure I'm following the question.
I'm saying, like, because I've been around religion for a while, since I've been born, but I'm saying, like, do you get the same concept out of it when you practice it? I'm saying, they say practice religion, but the question is, how do you preach it?
Right. Well, you know, preaching, pastoring, being an evangelist, those types of things, those are specific ministerial callings.
Right.
I went through Bible school, and I remember I was older when I went through, and there's these, I mean, hundreds after hundreds of these 18-year-olds who grew up in church, and they all want to be a preacher, and they have this vision in their head of what called to ministry is. So, okay, I'm called to ministry, so that means I have to go to college and I have to major in biblical studies, and then I have to go to seminary, and then I have to get a job as a youth pastor and work my way up to a big-time pastor and get my own church. And I watched this assembly line. And the reality was that half, at least half, of those kids going through college that their parents were paying an enormous amount of money to send them to were not called into that type of ministry. They had been brainwashed into this thing, and it's just like what you just said, practicing religion. And lo and behold, after a couple of years, most of these kids got completely burnt out because their expectations weren't met. See, a calling into ministry and understanding that you're called into ministry is a grind. It is a sacrificial lifestyle. It is a calling that says, I'm laying my life down. I must decrease so that he may increase. Everybody's needs around me come first. I'm not out here to grow a business. I'm out here to preach the word of God and disciple young men and women and teach them how to live a kingdom lifestyle and how to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. But what most people fail to realize is that workplace ministry is the most effective form of ministry that there is. In other words, take an average preacher. We're not talking about the mega churches with 25,000 every Sunday. We're talking about the average pastor with an average-sized church where a couple of hundred people show up. Or you take even smaller. Do you know how many churches there are out there that every Sunday about 20 show up? So they have to fight and fight and fight to try to grow this congregation, to get ears to listen and try to change people's lives. Where most people go to the workplace every day, they go to first shift, second shift, third shift. How many people are on first shift? And you can ask, and it varies from job to job. But every single day you have an opportunity every day to minister. Not going in beating people over the head with the Bible, but ministering with your actions, showing them something different. So this idea of how do you grow, how do you allow God to speak to you, and say, God, show me what you want me to do. If you want me to preach, then show me what I need to do to preach. Open the doors for me. But at the same time, it absolutely requires participation on our part, because just like you said, it requires that discipline, which, remember, the word disciple, the very beginning of that, discipline. Disciples and the disciples of Jesus Christ were disciplined. That's why they were set apart. So that discipline to wake up an hour early in the morning and spend time in God's Word, read His Word, absorb it like a sponge, and then spending that time on your face, not talking, not these prayers, dear Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that, and can I have this and can I have that, and begging and pleading and all of these things, just sitting and being quiet and listening. God, speak to me. That's how relationship grows. Isn't that how relationship grows with anybody? Communication. But the problem with communication most of the time, let's take a husband and a wife, girlfriend and boyfriend, let's take that. What's usually one of the biggest barriers in preventing communication? One of them won't shut up. There's always a complaint that one of them won't listen. So you got a talker, and you got a listener, and the talker will never shut up. So that's not communication. So we feel that if we spend time with God, that we've got to be talking all the time, and we have to pray these eloquent prayers like we hear in church. Nope, it's about submitting. It's about getting down on my knees, getting on my face, and saying, "I'm here, Father. I'm here. Talk to me." Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm still there. I'm sorry. I was listening on the internet. I was listening to it. That makes a beautiful point. I don't know nothing about it, but I mean, I know somewhat of it from my experience, and you just get that feeling, and it's just, you know, it feels great. I don't know. It's like a purifier or something. I don't know. It makes you feel a lot of feelings. It can do many things, and it's just, I mean, it's very ancient. It's very sacred. It's what I know of it, and it has mystical powers. I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of it or anything. I'm just saying, like, in all honesty, it's called the book. I mean, it is the book. I don't I just don't understand. Like you were saying earlier about the one religion, not one religion, but I mean, it is one. I mean, I believe in my God, but you know, I mean, God I believe in, but I'm saying, you know, the new, you know, I don't know nothing about that. The,
you mean as far as the one world religion and things like that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the big debate, isn't it? That's a huge debate. What makes you think that what you believe is right and what I believe is wrong? That's a valid question. I could be standing in front of a Muslim. I could be standing in front of a Hindu. I could be in front of a Taoist. I could be standing in front of a Tibetan monk. We could have a round table discussion and everybody look at the other one and say, what makes you think what you're teaching is right? Why, how in the world can you be so arrogant to sit here and tell me that your way is the only way? Isn't that a valid question, Rusty?
I believe so. I mean, thank you for backing me up. And it's,
well,
and
let me elaborate on that. Here's how you know. And this is, in every church, on every corner, every Christian church on every corner in America, we do this. We call ourselves outreach. We call ourselves seeker churches. We say we've built this monstrosity of a building for millions of dollars, and all you homeless people, you're welcome to come in. All you drug addicts, you're welcome to come in. All you prostitutes, you're welcome to come in. But here's the reality. They don't come in. Why? They don't come in because they feel out of place, because they're judged, because people turn down, they look down their nose to them. They try to stay away from them. They won't sit next to them. So what we do, and I'm not saying some churches have some tremendous outreach ministry, but the fact is in every church, on every corner, every Sunday, we're evangelizing Christians. We're taking people who are already Christians, who are already born again, and just giving them another neat story. But the Bible said that we need to be operating in the gifts that we've been given so that the world may know. Think about that comment. God himself told us, these things have to happen. My power must be put on display so that the world may know. A good example, and I said this last week, Jesus feeding the 5,000. There are people that like to say, well, look at Jesus. Look how loving and kind he was because he fed the hungry. Yes, Jesus fed the hungry, but that had nothing to do with the impact of what he did at that moment. He performed a miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit in him and multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 3 fish to feed thousands with some left over. And then when Jesus left, he said, I've given you the ability, I've given Rusty the ability to do all the things that I have done and even greater things than these he will do. But here's the problem. Rusty doesn't believe that. And Pastor Chris doesn't believe that. We it sounds great, but these things exist, and that's why I'm able to speak with such conviction because I've seen these things. The demonic world exists. We are in a battle between the powers, satanic powers, and God. We see it every single day. It is our job to war against that, but nobody knows how. And it makes us feel weird. But I guarantee you, with what I've seen, if we would get enough courage and enough backbone to stand up and every single day say, I'm going to war today, and to walk around in the name of Jesus and casting out demons, the world would know. And that's what sets us apart, is if we're sitting at that round table discussion with the Tibetan monk and the Catholic priest and the and all these major world religions, the Christian should be able to stand up and say, let me show you something. But the Holy Spirit has been quenched. He has been beaten down. He's been hidden away. We hide him. We talk about him, but we give him no place in our lives. And that's what, Rusty, that's what you've got to figure out on your own. And that is only, I can't do that for you. Nobody can do that for you. That's time. It's just like time that you would spend anything, whether you're working on music, whether you're working on being an athlete, whether you're working on an education. It doesn't matter. You're going to put in time. You're going to grind. You're going to get up at 3 a.m. You're going to go to bed at 12 midnight. You're going to do everything you need to do to be the best you can at that chosen thing that you have passion for. And if we would put forth that much effort and that much energy and that much passion into seeking God, we have no idea the things that he would do in our lives. No idea. Because he says, I want to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. He wants to do it. But we watch Oprah, and we watch Dr. Phil, and we watch Dr. Oz, and we watch this, and the world says, if you want to be successful, do this. And there's some validity to that. Yes, you need an education. Yes, you need these things. But at the same time, we're leaving God out of the equation. We're leaving the Holy Spirit out of the equation. Does that make sense, Rusty?
Oh, yeah, it does, definitely. I feel the part about just the grind because, I mean, everything is, in all honesty, however you look at it. I mean, not saying everything, but, like, basically to get your daily routine started, priorities together, you got to do that, and then you figure out what you want to do. If you want to, no matter what, you got to just, I mean, me, I give it up to God every day because, I mean, how else are human beings created? How else, you know, who knows the mysteries of the earth? I mean, you know, I hate to use this word, but God's a hustler, man. I mean, I'm just going to say, he thought of it first. He put it in my head is how I back that up. But I'm saying, like, I mean, a lot of people go through things still to this day as it's happening right now, but that's the wicked in the world. And Jesus had no wicked. There's nothing written about Jesus being wicked whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, that's just Jesus. I don't know. I'm just it's beautiful.
There's so much more, and this is what we have to tell people, Rusty, is that regardless of anything that you decide to do, and that's why God places ministries, that's why he places people in ministry, that's why he calls people to ministry, and that's why I'm called into ministry, is not to just come deliver a sermon every week, but my hope and my prayer and my dream is to reach a place where we can be discipling people on a regular basis, to really dig deep and say, okay, I've got 5 phone calls scheduled tonight. 5 30-minute phone calls. I'm spending 30 minutes with Rusty. I'm spending 30 minutes with Al. I'm spending 30 minutes with John. I'm spending 30 minutes with this person. And 3 times a week, we're going to go through our lives, and we're going to step by step, just like as if we're training for anything else, just like if we're going to school, and we're going to get this stuff cleaned up. We're going to come up with a strategy, and we're going to disciple these people and get them to where they, to the point where God intended them to be. Because, Rusty, there, God had a plan for you before you were ever born. That's something you've got to get in your head. Before you were born, he said, before you came into being, I knew you.
That's,
he had a plan that he wants to accomplish in your life, but he also gave you the ability to make your own decisions. So it's up to you every day to say, okay, God, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to have you lead me closer to where you want me to be, or I'm going to keep making the decisions on my own to keep chasing this thing that God might not have an intention for you to be. But that's up to you to listen. If there's been a gift placed inside of you, if there's something that stands out, well, that's not a coincidence. If you can bring the house down with your voice and you can sing, that's not a coincidence. If you can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, that's not a coincidence. If you can run a 40-yard dash in 4.2 seconds, that's not a coincidence. If you've got a brain that works like a computer, that's not a coincidence. So you take those things and you say, okay, God, I recognize what you put in me. The people around me recognize what you put in me. Now show me where you want me to go. Because he has a plan. But you have to back up and let him get out in front to lead you there. And that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to let him lead. And I say that from experience.
All right. I feel that. I mean, I'm saying that brings back a memory, actually. Now you think about it, I remember as an option going to Catholic school or a public school, and I've always been a Christian. It's just, I don't believe in strict, it's not that I'm believing Catholic. I know it's the oldest religion supposedly, but I don't know nothing about that. But it just seems that everywhere I go, that no matter what I do, it always revolves or something back to Jesus Christ or God or something. Always, even in my head, it's always just, something's always there. You can sense it. It's just, I don't know if that's the spirit or... I don't know, it's just, you just sense it all the time, and I have it since I was little, and it just feels good, man, and I just figured it out, dawned on me one day, and I don't know, caught reborn or not, but I mean, he would say it all the time, but I've been trying to do better ever since then.
Absolutely. I understand. Well, Rusty, I want you to stay on the line. We're gonna go to John and let him kind of chime in to see if he's got something to add. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Chris. I just like to say, man, you got a great topic going on tonight. And the point is to avoid being quickly shaken from your reason. And you brought that out real clear. And as I was reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 6, you know, Paul, you know, he wrote, you know, Paul wrote to these people to let them know that he didn't want his brothers to be in the darkness and unprepared. Instead, he urged them as son of light to stay awake and keep their senses. And like I say, and I was thinking that, you know, we are weak because we inherit sin and imperfect imperfection. Despite our weakness, we are precious in God's eyes. So, you know, so we need to maintain a balance between persistence. You know, we need to let our anger burn in our love instead of our mind. You know, you know, correctness must be presented in an argument in a clear and a logical manner to the wrongdoers. And that's what you're doing out here trying to explain things to people, to learn more about, to teach them more about the Bible. And so that's what Paul wrote this letter that gave these Christians timely warning so that they could keep their spiritual walk in life. And it's a great topic in which that you are giving to us that we need to heed. Is to keep our spiritual walk going. You're doing a great job. You know, like I said, it resonated with me, the points and the things you're trying to get across.
Well, John, thank you. You know, one of the things you said just kind of brought up another. No matter how many times I teach this, it never seems to get old because it is a fundamental truth. It's one of those fundamental realities that there still seems to be a disconnect from. In other words, I've said this before, we're told that we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. He died for our sins, and he died, he was buried, he rose again in 3 days, and I have to believe through faith that happened. And once I do, that the Holy Spirit comes to live in me, and I'm good to go. I am now born again. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb, and all is well. the problem is that we're still left with this soul. Most people don't understand that our soul, because we've heard all our lives, our soul gets saved. He saved our soul. So that creates a mindset. But this is what we have to understand. This is critically important. There is a spirit man, a spirit woman to all of us. When we are saved, that spirit man is perfected. It cannot be increased upon. It cannot be improved at any level. It is perfect in God's eyes. The Bible says that we become the righteousness of God at that moment that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But we have a soul, and we have to understand what the soul is made up of. That soul is made up of our intellect, our passions, the root of our passions, the root of our desires, our perceptions, our mindsets, the way we think, the way all of the our neighborhood, the people we grew up with, the teaching that we received from our grandparents and our parents, our experiences, all of those things are locked up in our soul. So once we make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now the work begins. See, we did nothing to deserve that. That was a free gift from God. God's grace, pouring his grace out on us, saying, I'm going to save you. And all we had to do was make a decision. But now there's this soul that has to be cleaned up. I told somebody today, I said, there was nobody born a racist. I preached as a white pastor. I preached in a very traditional black church this morning. And I looked out and I said, nobody was born a racist. At some point, you sat down with someone who said, those people are no good, these people are no good, those people think like this, those people act like this, those people don't like you. And they could point to times in history and they could say, look what happened here and look what happened there. Look what happened to the Jews in Germany. Look what happened during the time of slavery. Look what happened way back before that when the Spaniards came over here and enslaved Native Americans. And we can point to those things in history and we can say, look how those people are. That develops a mindset. And it's an unfair mindset. Because as a believer, and the one thing I stood boldly in front of that church this morning and I said, I am absolutely sick and tired of hearing, sick and tired of hearing color. I stood in front of a bunch of Christians and said, if you are a born-again child of God, that means you are a kingdom citizen just like me. That means you are my brothers and sisters. That means that God does not see you any differently than he sees me. He does not see me as white. He does not see you as black. He sees us as his children. And I said, from now on, I will identify myself by the color of the stuff that I'm washed in. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am crimson red. Don't identify me as anything else. If I meet you and you say you're my brother and you say you're a brother in Christ, then I'm going to make an assumption about your mindset. I'm going to make an assumption that you don't care what color I am. I'm going to make an assumption that we're brothers. I'm going to make an assumption that you'll lay down your life for me. I'm going to make an assumption that you live your life by a specific code. At least you do the best you can. And I'm not going to identify you based on anything else until you give me a reason to. But what do? We still have to hold on to this identity. We still turn on the news and let our emotions get stirred up every single day because they're pumping it. They're pumping division, pumping division, pumping division. They don't like you. There's a war on women. There's a war on this. There's a war on that. They don't like you. I don't care what they like. If those things are true, then they're not my brothers and sisters anyway. I could care less what they like. It is time for us to come together as brothers and sisters and behave according to the rules and the principles and the laws of the kingdom of God, period. And until we do, nothing's going to change. Until we stop getting on Facebook and sounding off and ranting about what we saw on MSNBC today, there's never going to be any unity. Because emotion stirs up emotion, stirs up emotion, stirs up emotion. And as long as that, as long as we keep living by those five senses, what I see, what I smell, what I taste, what I hear, until we stop living by those things and start living by the Spirit of God and taking a situation that stirs up that instant emotion and placing it under the blood of Jesus and immediately say, okay, that made me feel some kind of way. So, Lord, I'm bringing that to you. How does this line up with the way you think, God? And every time I've done that, you know what he said? Chris, son, that's a bad person who did a bad thing to somebody who didn't deserve to get a bad thing done to them. Period. The world is under the influence of the devil, Chris. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Chris. We wrestle against principalities and powers and forces of darkness. It's not about the person, and it's certainly not about the color of their skin. It's about the fact that Satan has a stronghold on this world, and bad things happen every day from people of all color. And we Christians are the world's worst at keeping it stirred up. We'll talk about love. Love your neighbor. Lay down your life. Unconditional love. Love like Jesus. But man, we talk about people like they're dirt. Especially if they're different than we are. And until we can get past that, the kingdom cannot change. Because Jesus said the kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. If you're letting MSNBC or Fox News or CNN get you stirred up, there's no peace. That's not peace. That's strife. That's division. We have to do better. We have to set a new standard. We have to stop going around talking about religion. Jesus Christ did not die to create a religion. He died to create sons and daughters who would live like he lived, perform the same miracles that he performed, lay down their lives for each other like he laid down his life for us. He died to create sons and daughters who quit complaining about everything from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. This isn't right. That isn't right. This is inconvenient. That is inconvenient. I don't have enough money. My relationships are jacked up. And you spend 24 hours a day doing nothing but complaining. And make no mistake that every word that comes out of your mouth that is a complaint affects everyone around you. And it wears everybody out. We have to set a new standard of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you do not have those things, the kingdom is not in you. And if the kingdom is not in you, the kingdom cannot advance. But the Bible tells me that the kingdom is going to advance whether I want to be a part of it or not. And there are people out there that are getting it. There are people out there that are completely transforming, that are going through a metamorphosis in their lives. Anybody have anything they want to add to that? Any questions?
This is Russ. How you doing? Yeah, it's about the metamorphosis, transforming. That strikes a bell about, you know, people get things distorted or read things distorted and take things out of context. But everything that I've read in the Bible, you know, is, you know, it's solid stone. I'm sure it was engraved. I'm sure, you know, I mean, I keep saying that because it's still there. You can get it for a dollar at the dollar store, and it's worth priceless. I mean, you can flip to one word, not one word, but, you know, you just flip to something, and just all of a sudden it'll just happen. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, you can't go wrong with it is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. I know, Poetic, you there? Wanted to see if Poetic was on the line. I'm going to go ahead and address this because this is a question that that Poetic had actually 2 weeks ago. Are you there? Okay, I guess he's out for a second. Hopefully you'll hear this.
No, I put the phone on mute and said I am here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You had a question about fasting. Let's talk about that just briefly because it's a pretty simple concept, but go ahead and elaborate on your question if there was anything more specific that you wanted to ask.
Well, I wanted to know the techniques of fasting and the purpose of how it's supposed to help in your life. By fasting, they say when you deny food, it strengthens the spirit. And I want to know biblically the purpose behind fasting.
Okay.
I guess that's
Yeah, there's been hundreds of books written on fasting, and everybody seems to have a different view on, you know, because, you know, if I come up with a different technique that's interesting, it's almost like coming out with a new workout video. That I, you know, it's just a different way to do the same old thing, and then I promote it as this amazing thing that'll somehow be different or end up with a different result. But hundreds of books, and it really comes down to this. You know, in the Catholic world, they celebrate Lent, and you'll see people, and I don't know if people who aren't familiar with this, it could seem a little strange because all of a sudden you look on TV. And you watch the news, and these people's foreheads look dirty. And I had my daughter come up the other day and say, "Why is his forehead dirty? Well, he's got dirt." And I said, "No, that's ashes. It's on Ash Wednesday, they put ashes." And they go into Lent, and the purpose behind Lent is to give something up during Lent. So you'll hear all these things, oh, "I'll give up chocolate," or "I'll give up this," or "I'll give up cheeseburgers," or "I'll give up all these things." And I heard a Catholic priest on the radio the other day, "This is our spiritual boot camp every year. This spiritual boot camp where I give up chocolate, and somehow by giving up chocolate, I'm reaching a higher level spiritually. Lord, have mercy on our souls." If that is the extent of what we believe. There are spiritual principles that go into this, and there are also physiological principles that go into this. Number one, the average person's diet is jacked up. Most of us walk around toxic. Most of us are consuming McDonald's cheeseburgers and Burger King and, you know, whatever. And we're hyped up on sugar. We've got sugar, and we're eating bread, and we're eating all these fats, and our bodies are contaminated. That affects the way we think. It affects our mood. It affects people that are predisposed to depression. It exacerbates those symptoms of depression. If you take somebody that's depressed and give them a lot of sugar, they're going to get more depressed. They're going to get more irrational. But we justify these things in our minds, and we actually get addicted to the food that we eat. Fasting is very simple. The principle of fasting is very simple. The principle is to deny myself. I have a very specific thing, and maybe this is because of my background, and you have to decide for yourself. There's two factors that go into play. Number one, my ultimate goal during this fast, however long you determine that fast is going to be, is it going to be 3 days? Is it going to be 24 hours? Is it going to be 2 weeks? You determine that. You go to God and you look and you say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice to get a breakthrough. Father, I need a breakthrough from you, and I'm going to deny myself whatever it is to get that breakthrough. Now, I don't know about you, but if I want a breakthrough in my life, I'm not going to give up a Snicker bar. If I want a breakthrough in my life, I'm not going to give up a Diet Coke. If I've got struggles that I'm dealing with and I want to get on a higher spiritual level with God and hear from him on a direct, almost audible level, I'm going to deny myself everything. So that's number one, is the ultimate goal is to open your mind up, to clear your mind, to clean your body out to the point, and you'll see this. You go 1 day, it's hard, I'm hungry. 2 days, even harder. The third day, it starts to settle in. Man, I'm actually feeling kind of good. I'm actually kind of euphoric. Why does that happen? It's physiological. Your body's cleaning out. You're detoxing. And as soon as you start detoxing, then all of a sudden you start to think differently. And if you're using that time, see, the object isn't just to deny yourself these things and go about your normal everyday activity the way you always would. The idea is to deny yourself and spend more time with your Father. So there's no specific thing in the Bible that says a fast has to look this way. Because you have juice fast and you have this fast and completely taking yourself off of everything but water and vitamin supplements. But you have to decide that for yourself. But what I would say is do something that will improve the health of your body, and one of two things is going to do that. Either you fast on fruits and vegetables during that period of time, and that's going to clean your body out physically. You're going to detox. And you will, in about 3 days, start to feel different. And that time that you spend with God will be much more clear. It'll be much more, you'll connect on a different level. You'll start to hear from him on a different level. As you read your Bible, you'll start to see things that you didn't normally see. And the more you deny yourself, the clearer that becomes. My pastor in Colombia, he actually fasted for 39 days, 39 days on water and vitamin supplements. And he had breakthroughs in his life that he'd never had. Miracles were happening. Literal miracles were happening. So you have to decide that on your own. But don't make more of it than what it is. It's strictly denying yourself. I'm going to break myself down to a level where I can get closer to him. But you have to seek him during that time. You can't just fast and then walk through your day and expect something miraculous to happen. That's not what it's all about. And it's certainly not about walking around telling everybody that you're fasting. Nobody's even supposed to know. But in church, oh, Lord, I've got to tell everybody that I'm fasting. Oh, I'm going to fast. Oh, 3 days, it's hard. The Bible tells us, shut up. The Bible's very specific not to say anything. Wash your face. Throw cold water on your face so that everybody's not going to see this countenance on your face dropping like you're hungry and tired. But it makes me more holy. Look, I'm holier than you because I'm fasting for the 365th time this year. I started a new fast this morning. Well, I broke it at lunch because I went to McDonald's. So I fasted between 8 and 12. It's not about that. It's not about you and the church. It's not about you and your friends. It's about you and God. Deny yourself, get closer to Him. And we need to get better at that. We need to get better at denying ourselves and sacrificing for Him. That's all it's about. Did I answer your question?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, to a degree. So my question is, okay, when you say talking, you got to talk with Him, you got to pray with Him, and you're pretty much just reading through the Bible. Is there specifics in the Bible that you probably need to take hold to and understand? If it's, let's just say, like, don't get me wrong, let's just say you're a baby Christian. You're not really, it's not something that you've been doing all your life. How do you connect at the level that you are and you're just starting into it?
This is what I tell everybody that's just starting out. You know, you don't want to send a baby Christian and say, read your Bible and send them to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You start sending them there, and all of a sudden it's so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, and they're like, what in the world?
Correct.
It's like, I don't want to read this. There's nothing exciting about this. I always recommend to go to the Gospels. Read about Jesus. It's
and the Gospels are?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And each of those is a story of Jesus' life. And they're all a little bit different, obviously, because they're written by four different people. But they all tell the same story, just in a slightly different way, and some of the words will be almost identical. But it's the story about His birth, about His ministry, about what He taught. Red-letter words. You know, you get yourself a red-letter Bible. So anytime you read, the words are in red, that's Jesus speaking. You know, read what He said. Read what He taught. Read about His death. Read about His burial and His resurrection. Learn everything there is to learn about Him, because that's the foundation of everything. And if you're going into a fast, even seasoned Christians, my goodness, if you go into a fast and you hit that fourth, fifth, sixth day, and you're spending that quiet time with God, and you're reading the Gospels, and you start reading about Jesus, and Jesus saying, the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off, and you say, oh my goodness, I've read this 100 times. And the 101st time, I received something from God that I've never seen. That's revelation. That's that quickened word from God. That word that hits you right in your spirit, right at that moment that you needed to hear. And that's what comes by denying yourself and seeking Him. Because we hear about that all the time. Seek ye first the kingdom. Well, how do I seek? Relationship. If I want to improve my relationship with anybody, I spend time with them. I communicate with them. Their desires and their wants and their needs become more important than mine. I listen to the words that they have to say, and I let them resonate with me, and I try to put myself in their shoes, and I try to put myself on their level, and I try to do all those things where relationship comes in. That's all God wants from us. He wants relationship between Him and us, and He wants relationship between each other. That's what He desires more than anything. So learn about Jesus. Learn what He taught. That's it, because it'll blow your mind if you really read it. And there's nothing wrong with skipping around. This whole idea of I've got to start from Genesis and go all the way to Revelation in 1 year, that's great. And that takes discipline to do that. But you know what? If you're reading a chapter in the Bible and it's just not, nothing's kind of hitting, move to another one. There are no rules. It's the Word of God. And there's always something in there that He's wanting to get through to you at a specific time. So if you're reading something and it's like, man, I'm just not feeling this, move on to something else. But don't think that you have to read four chapters at one time, because you can take one verse in the Bible. One verse. I could take Ephesians chapter 1 and preach on it. Not read it. I could preach on it for a year. For an entire year, I could preach a sermon on Ephesians chapter 1, and the sermon every single week would be completely different, because there's so much contained in that one chapter. So much revelation, so much power. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved, not read to show thyself approved. So we've got this misconception. We're going, well, I read my Bible today. Well, good. What did you learn? Did you study it? Did you take one verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, you can read that over and over and over and over again. And every time you read it, the power of that verse increases. Every time. Reading the Psalms of understanding that David was a king and the things that he struggled with, the things that he wrote, a lot of these Psalms, which are songs, while he was involved in an affair. The pain that he was feeling, the guilt that he was feeling, the shame that he was feeling, the crying out to God to please have mercy on him, to restore him back to where he used to be. And during this sin, during this time of his life and all this iniquity, God said, David is a man after my own heart. What a compliment. What if God just spoke to you today and said, poetic, you're a man after my own heart? Man, that would wreck you. It would wreck your day. You would never need another compliment or a pat on the back as long as you live. Because you would look up and say, me and all my imperfection and all my sin and all my screw-ups and all my struggles and all my grinding and all this, I'm a man after your own heart. Yep. Because I know that you love me, and I know that you're every day trying to do better. Relationship, communication, denying yourself, absorbing his word, studying the word. Let him speak to you. Does that help?
Yep, and it brings up another question real quick. You said, let him speak to you, okay? Back in the biblical days, it seemed that God's voice was actually heard by the people. Or did he speak to them as he speak to us today? He speak to our internal voice, because that's how I hear God. And I just want to know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's legitimate. In the Old Testament, that's exactly how he communicated. He did speak to. He showed up. He showed up to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke audibly, because remember, it was when Jesus died. That's when he sent. As we said, I'm sending you a helper. So I'm sending you a Holy Spirit to live and dwell on the inside of you. So that eliminated the need for God to speak to us audibly, because there's now this voice inside of us, and we've all heard it. We ignore it most of the time, don't we?
I believe so.
But it's absolutely. Because remember, there's always a wrestling match going on between your spirit and your soul. Because the Bible says that the spirit searches all things concerning you. So I've heard this old pastor of mine who referred to the Holy Spirit as Curious George. He said, the Holy Spirit is Curious George. So as soon as you get saved, this Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is excited. So he goes to God the Father and he says, tell me everything there is to know about poetic. I want to know his passions, his desires, his struggles, those things that nobody knows about. I want to know about his gifts. I want to know about his talents. I want to know everything. Because the Bible says, who knows the mind of a man except the spirit of a man? Who knows the mind of God except for the spirit of God? So you have this spirit living inside of you that knows everything about God and knows everything about you. He knows everything about God's plans for you, and his job is to start tugging. It's to start sending you these messages. Stop. Don't do that. Go the other way. Make this turn. Make that turn. But we have to be willing to submit to that. So, yes, and that's where that comes in. That takes practice. Because if we're still living in the same mindset, in the same ways that we've always lived, making decisions based on the information that we've always been given, we're taking that spirit man in us and pushing him down and pushing him down and saying, I don't need you. I don't want to hear from you. I've got this. And that's where that discipline comes in. And so God speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through his spirit. We just have to be willing and acceptable and submissive enough to be sensitive to that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, sir.
All right. Go ahead. Somebody have something to say?
Yeah, Pastor, I had a question. This is Rusty. You were saying about the soul and the spirit, and that brings up something. Because, like, I think of spirit as, I mean, I think of it as spirit, but spirit is what guides me, and the soul is what you kind of fill up like your Easter basket. Like, you got to purify your soul, like, on your own. That's your free will or something to me, but is that, am I wrong?
Not really. That is, But your will, think of it this way. Your will is your ability to make decisions on your own. In other words, back in the Old Testament, God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, out of everything in the garden, it's all yours. It's all yours, except for one thing. If you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. Now, sometimes that blows my mind because I'm sitting here trying to put myself in Adam's shoes. He gets to interact with God on a daily basis. He knows that God created all of these things. He saw God create this creature that is now standing in front of him, Eve. And Adam looked up and said, it is good. And make no mistake. Adam had to look up and say, that's what I'm talking about. Now we're getting somewhere. He interacted with God on a daily basis. He heard from him. And he said, man, all you got to do is one thing. One thing. Do not eat from that tree. And then the lie came. Just like the lies come to us on a daily basis. Man, don't believe what that preacher said on Sunday night. He's out of his mind. No, that's not what he's trying to say. What God was really trying to say, and he doesn't really want you to know this, but if you eat that fruit, you'll become like him. Now, there's that free will. There's that free will that God makes room for. You choose. We have to know the law. We have to know the principles. We have to know the instructions. See, we like to call it the law all the time, and that makes it easier for us to say things like legalistic. This is, oh, that's legalistic. That's in the Old Testament. Do you know that word didn't even exist? The laws of God are more correctly interpreted the righteous instructions of God. They never changed. For us in 2014, the law is still the same. They are the righteous instructions of God put in place for our own good. But we also have a free will. We have the ability to say, I don't agree. I have a better plan. I'll go ahead and screw up on purpose and ask for forgiveness and try it again later. I'm sorry, God, but I know I messed up. I won't do it again. Yeah, you will. That's what, and our righteousness and the spirit inside of us becomes stronger, and that communication becomes stronger, and we start to hear from him more clearly the more we respond to situations righteously. The more we eliminate the garbage from our life, the more we resist temptation, the stronger the spirit man inside of us becomes. And the more, that's when you start to recognize the attacks. That's when you start to say, I see you there, devil. I see what you're trying to do. I see the temptation, and you don't have a shot. Because I have been made the righteousness of God. I am a child of God. I am a co-heir with Christ. And I have the ability, through the spirit that lives inside of me, to look at you and say, get behind me, Satan. We're done with all this nonsense. And every time you do that, every time you resist that, you become stronger and the enemy's attacks become weaker. This is not rocket science. It's about right and wrong. Being a strong man or a weak man. Doing things my way or doing things God's way. We have a choice, and we'll have a choice until the day we die. But we have the ability now, because I believe, and I've said this before, that we're on this radio show for a reason. God's trying to speak directly. God is. You want to know how God speaks to you? Through me. That's what I'm here for. That's why there are ministers and preachers and evangelists and teachers and pastors. The fact is that most of them have lost their way, and their message is so watered down and cheesy, grin-filled that you don't really get anything. You don't get any meat anymore. God speaks to us in many different ways. God can speak to you through a homeless man sitting on a sidewalk that you took the time to just walk up and sit down beside him and just strike up a conversation. He can speak to you through an old person by going and visiting a nursing home. Walking to a nursing home and saying, I've never done this before, but do you need a volunteer? Somebody that could come by once a week and just sit and talk to these 95, 98, 100-year-old people. They love that. And, oh, man, you would be amazed at what they'll tell you. And you'd be amazed at how God can speak to you through them. You'd be amazed at how God can speak to you through a 2-year-old. He's all around. We just have to be looking for him. Shouldn't that be a goal every day? Is I'm going to wake up today, and I know God's here, and I know he wants to do something with me today. I know he has a plan for my life, so I'm looking for him. God, show me what do you need done? Dad, here I am, Dad. Tell me what I can do for you today. And watch him do his thing. And you would be amazed. And in the most unlikely places that he'll just show up and teach you a life lesson that will just blow your mind. He has to become the number one priority. That's what has to happen. And believe me, I have to remind myself of that just like you do every day. Because I get caught up just like everybody else does. So guys, I want to thank you so much for all the questions and the interaction tonight. I know I tend to preach. But, you know, it's really neat when I hear people interested and they have questions, and it just gets me excited. And I like this format. I like it a lot. But before we go, I do want to introduce one more person. And this is my partner. Mother Agnes is a comedian. She is super talented, and she adds some well-needed comic relief and some value to this program, and we're happy to have her, and we appreciate her taking the time to be on. Mother Agnes, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing this evening?
If I was doing any better, I'd be twins, I think.
Well, all right then. All right, Pastor. Well, you gave me a lot of information this evening, and I tell you, I was listening to you when you was talking about the fasting, and I just was really disappointed. I mean, you mean to tell me that I had fasted for 20 years one time, I tell you, and I had gave up Little Debbie cakes. For 20 years, I gave up these Little Debbie cakes, and I just feel like I just wasn't doing it right, Pastor. And I had made a false idol out of Little Debbie. That's what I had did, and I realized that I was wrong, because Little Debbie can't do nothing for me, can't save my soul. But I was eating them Little Debbie cakes like they were just going to get me to heaven, you know what I'm saying? And I had gave them up the whole 20 years, and now I done did it wrong. I got to get myself back right. But you know what? When I had started that fast, on the third day, I had received something from the Lord. You know what it was, Pastor?
What's that?
It was a stomachache. Had to go to the store and get me a Little Debbie cake. I done backslid it. Lord have mercy. It's shameful, I tell you. But I'm going to work on it. I'm going to fast. This time when I fast, I'm going to fast for the next about 30-some years, and I'm going to make sure I spend my time with the Lord. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Me and Little Debbie ain't going to play no games. Mm-mm.
Well, I'm sure the Lord knows your heart. I'm sure he probably knows that was at least some kind of sacrifice, giving up Little Debbie cake, especially as I know about Mother Agnes. Yeah, I know you
mm-hmm.
tried to eat. He sees that effort. He appreciates that.
I really did.
He does.
He forgive me, right? He forgive me.
He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. He probably cleaned you right out, though. Got all that gunk out of there after 20 years of getting rid of those things.
Well, then I went right back to it, though. You know, it's that one that's called the Little Devil Cake. That little devil cake, that's the devil, I tell you. I walked right past in the grocery store, and it was calling me. It called me to backslid it.
I understand, but at least you recognize it. See, that's all about the walk. See, that's why you're wiser than all the rest of us. You learn by doing.
Yes,
you learn some valuable lessons. Well, we sure do appreciate you, Mother Agnes.
Well, thank you for having me on. Y'all have a good night, and make sure you set your clocks. If you didn't move your clocks yet, I tell you, this daylight saving time has got me messed up. It's way past my bedtime now. I can't handle it. Daylight saving time going to cause me to go to that HE double hockey sticks place, I tell you, because it got me just on the edge. Got me on the edge. I'm grouchy. I can't get this bed on time or nothing. I'm just grouchy. So I just can't take it. I'm going to mess around and be down there and with Bill Clinton, Beyonce, and Barabbas and everybody, and they're going to meet me at the gate. And they're going to be like, why you down here, Mother Agnes? You've been a good old woman. Your whole life you've been good. Why you down here? I'm going to say, because daylight saving time. That's why.
Well, I understand. Well, you better go get some rest and get some sleep and make sure you say your prayers, and you'll wake up in the morning all right.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I think I'm going to do that.
All right. Bye, Mother Agnes.
Bye. You have a good night now.
You too. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you so much for tonight. I appreciate the participation. Rusty, John, Mother Agnes, Poetic, thank you very much. We'll try to do this again. Poetic, you got anything you want to pass on before we close out in prayer?
I want to thank everybody as well. It was a great show, by the way. And I want to say, if you guys are listening in by your phone or your by computer or anything, please upload your music to www.hiphopnational.com. We have changed the platform, and everybody who's on the line at this moment or listening in at the computer, you can now log on, get registered, and create your profile like you could on Facebook. So we now I've got a membership that's available for everybody. So definitely, if you would, go log on and register with your profile. Really appreciate it. www.hiphopnational.com. And we're growing. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Let's close out in prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to interact with one another. Father, I pray that the things that you've brought to light tonight would just resonate with everybody on the call, that we'd be able to take these things and grow in our daily walk. Father, I pray that each and every person would just continue to seek you, seek the kingdom, spend more time with you, and just crave that deeper relationship with you. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my new single entitled Give Him Praise. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight! Give him praise. Come on, don't be shocked. We gon' give him praise.
You have now entered into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater.
Nah.
Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Ain't no coincidence like rocks is the paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in this prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Jesus Christ came to die. Love will make Marines holler. Hoorah, simplify. He got that power, much more than Kanye. Jesus ain't alive, it's just something that me conjure. Yeah, he came and died, but he rose on that thigh. Yeah, now he's in the sky, most high with a prophet. And he coming back, white horse with the strong arm. First you're gonna hear that trumpet blaring Louis Armstrong. Get the music right, don't be caught up singing thong song. Read up on your words too, and don't be quoting songs wrong. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. Came and died for the holy. Got enough blood for you and also for your homies. Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely. Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy. Gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, and don't forget it like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Snatch it back, flee from the devil, that's what he owes me. Like the fact that I'm saved, I believe cause Christ told me. Can't wait to see Jesus' hands, they still holy. From hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul. He did it out the love of his heart, he never owed me. And that's why I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me. Now check me out. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing. Alpha and Omega, the creator, the final way maker, on top and ungreater. So the Satan is a lying, full-fledged hater. He can hate all he want, but can't stop God's favor. See, God can make it possible, possible. So how could you believe on what them doctors do, working in a hospital? Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of you. A filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through, serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you. If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust the Lord. He will meet your every need. Humble cry, he can't ignore. Why you think our Jesus came? To pay the price we can't afford. Worthy, righteous, holy, what else is there that you can't adore? And he's the same God of the future, present, and day before. When you go bananas, when your favorite team scores, don't forget to lead your best unto the Lord, he did more. Go ahead, I get a Lord praise. Pay attention, start repenting, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's
get amazing, get amazing, get amazing. Hey, go ahead and get a little praise. Pay attention, start repenting to see in the days. Hey, get down on your knees, let them know that it's amazing.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.